Let's take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we look in the Word of God this evening, Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look towards the end of the chapter there. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. As we look in verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." As we look at these two verses tonight, I want you to pay attention to how they were astonished at his doctrine. And it says he taught them as one having authority. That's the problem with modern preaching. They quote so many other people. They never quote the Lord and never give what his truth is on the thing. We've got more skyscraper preachers than we've ever had before in our lives. They build one story right on top of the other one. Read a text out of the Bible, never come out of the Bible. Just story. Those stories may be good. They may bring a tear to you. I know they do mine because I hate hearing them. But there comes a time in your life where when you come here, you need the Bible. You need what God says because that's what your soul needs. And we want to stick with the Bible as best we can tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at some descriptions of doctrine tonight. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. God, how good you are to us. How you brought us from death into life when you saved us and you gave us life more abundant. And we pray tonight while we're here, God, that you'll do a work in our hearts and lives. Help me to preach tonight. Help us to understand doctrine tonight and teach us by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at these descriptions of doctrine, you obviously see the first one there. It is described as astonishing doctrine in those verses right there. And astonished in that word there, astonished, a helpful outline of its definition is this. Number one, it puts to shame and silence with fear. With fear. If he was quoting God right here, and he taught us what having authority, they were afraid. Because the scribes and Pharisees and people that showed up here for this thing, the lost people that showed up, anytime you hear from God and you're lost, it should bring fear across your heart and mind. The reason being, there is an end to this life. And you don't float away with a harp and sit on a cloud with wings and a halo. That's not us.
Right.
And that's not how life ends for most people. It's well stated by somebody that if you look at the modern secular music the last 40 years, this, they even know. You got a stairway to heaven and a highway to hell.
How about that?
They were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because he preached, "Thus saith the Lord." He didn't care what Dr. Bottlestopper said about it. He preached the word of God, and everything out of his mouth was truth. And it was doctrine, because what they heard, what the saved people heard that day, the same thing you hear today, is something that helps you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, yet keeps a healthy fear of God in you. I doubt the last time somebody's heard a message on 1 Corinthians 3 or 2 Corinthians 5 about the judgment seat of Christ. People don't even believe that stuff anymore. They're not afraid of it. They're not afraid how it affects them. They just want what's best for them, whatever that is. And if it goes against God, they could care less. They don't care what God's got to say about it. But listen, they were astonished over here, and they were astonished greatly because he taught was not the one that had having authority, not as the scribes. But you'll notice also another part of this outline to the word astonished is they were put to shame in silence with surprise. Surprise, surprise, if somebody gets up and preaches and you're the subject of the message. Couldn't you imagine being one of them scribes? You've been preaching in the synagogue this week, and they just said they loved your stories. They loved how you quote Dr. Widebottom and all them other guys, and they just thought you was the most scholarly thing all around. Next day, you walk out in the wilderness, and here he is out there doing what he's doing. They could barely get five in the synagogue because all the Jews were tired that day or whatever it was. But they come out here in the wilderness. He's got a crowd out there preaching to him, and he's doing everything they say don't do in their colleges.
Right.
Don't be mean. Don't point nobody out. Don't do all this other stuff. Don't wear a brown suit or whatever it is they tell nowadays. They got out there with Jesus, and he just preached the Bible.
Right.
They said, "Don't do that, whatever you do. That'll scare people." But it also put to shame and silence the very critics he'd have for the rest of the 3.5 years he had left on this earth. It also, another thing is to put to shame and silence, not only with fear and surprise, but with admiration. There were some people standing there that they admired the Lord Jesus Christ because they could tell something was different about his preaching than everybody else's. And when somebody comes along and says that, and they say, well, I have to admire you. You preach what God said. There's a difference in that thing. And see, this is described as astonishing doctrine because when people are astonished at it, because they don't hear that all the time more.
Right.
They hadn't heard it on this fashion before, they'd later say in the Bible about that. But Bible doctrine does that to people. It astonishes them. They either didn't know God said it, didn't know where it was at in the Bible. A lot of people are worried about the end times today. I had two people contact me and say, well, does the Christian go through the tribulation? Where'd they hear it? They did. They didn't hear it from God.
That's right.
Why were they worried about it? Somebody told them that, and I was reminded Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to remind them in 1 Thessalonians what he said in 1 Thessalonians 4, and here's how the thing's going to play out.
Right.
So what'd you do for them? I just pointed them to a message. Do Christians go through the tribulation? Right there on that website. Mm-hmm. That's a help to people. You don't know what people are going through. We're blessed that we have preachers in here that we have preaching. We have revival meetings, whatever. We don't have junk preaching. We got Bible preachers. Our young preachers preach the Bible. Our old preachers preach the Bible. And we won't have them preach the Bible while they're here because we know that'll help you in the long run.
Right.
I notice it's also described as hypocritical doctrine. Look at Matthew 16. Hypocritical doctrine. Hypocritical doctrine. Who would be hypocritical? Well, I'm going to show you can call them by name here in just a second. Matthew chapter 16. You look down at verse number 6 down there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Never mind me up here. I got spots before my eyes, and I thought I saw them a while ago, and I figured out where they're coming from. I didn't want to say nothing out loud. I thought I might have had a stroke or something. Didn't know, but I'm going to make sure I don't have it. So just give me a minute here. Bear with me here. Nate, play our commercial right here for us, if you would. All right, that should have got it right there. Okay, now here we go. Let's see if y'all's measles went away. Yeah, we good now. Verse 6, Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Leaven in the Bible, of course, is a type of sin. It says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember for the 5 loaves and of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it you do not understand that I spake unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What is that leaven? Verse 12. See how this book explains itself. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, doctrine is described as being hypocritical doctrine when it's coming from hypocrites. So how do you identify them? They tell you to do one thing and they don't do it. See? If somebody comes to you and says, well, I believe that we should tithe 10 cents on every dollar, and all of God's people say amen, and the guy don't tithe. He don't need to be preaching that stuff. He's a hypocrite. That's hypocritical doctrine. They put, listen, what they're going to do is put a yoke around your neck, but they're not going to wear the yoke. They're going to tell you to go out on the limb, but they're not going out on the limb. I think we should go out and do such and such, and then they won't go. That's hypocritical doctrine. They will not do right. Listen, you can preach and tell them to do right. What'll they do? Say, well, I just preach what the Bible says. No, you got to do what the Bible says. I found out early on, you don't get to just preach this stuff. You get to live it too. And sometimes God will take your head and rub it back in this stuff. Sometimes after you try to be a double-barrel hypocrite on this stuff, God wants the preacher to live it too, and he'll make sure you live it. He wants the Christian to make sure they live it and make sure that they understand. We don't do like the preacher says, do we? Do like the Bible says, whether the preacher does it or not, God will take care of him in time. But wait a minute, he might be going to take care of me too.
Right.
And see, there's a lot of that stuff goes on with people. Because like when you look at leaven, what he's talking about with them is false doctrine as well. And sometimes people get in this stuff of false doctrine. They get to listen to some well-spoken, charismatic charlatan, and they'll come up with all this garbage, and they'll get people believing that stuff. There was a man in this church one time come to me and said, have you heard old such and such preach on TV? The answer is always no. Listen, tell what Dr. Gerald Melton told me in 1994. 99% of all Christian television is bad. 99%. Well, why is that? Because it's bad.
Right.
This one fellow asked me about this particular cult, said, you ought to hear that guy preach. Well, he preaches straight out of the Bible. And I was at his house one day, and the guy came on. He said, there he is. Let's watch him right quick. And we sat there and looked at that guy. He sat there with a cigar in his mouth with a Bible open, talking about how there wasn't no rapture in the Bible. The word rapture wasn't in the Bible.
Huh.
Well, the word idiot's not in the Bible either, but I think we had a good picture of it right there.
That's right.
And when he kept on about this stuff, see, he'd read verses and take them out of context out of Matthew 24. He never dealt with the whole scripture. He just picked and chose, and he was trying to get people to believe his false doctrine he was spewing out. I thought to myself, you know, it's kind of funny how a guy like that can take a Baptist church member and have them tore up like that with hypocritical doctrine. Well, you know, Christians are going to have to suffer before we go to the tribulation, or before the time of the great tribulation. When have we not been suffering? You've been in America. It's going on everywhere in the world but here, but I think we might be knocking on its door right now. There may be come a time when somebody says, when Ohio Biden the party tells you, you can't have church no more, unless you're a state-run church. China don't have any problem with you having a church as long as they run it.
Right.
They tell you what to preach and everything. Russia has no problem with you having any kind of church, unless it's their church, the Russian Orthodox Church, then you go in there and hear what they want you to hear. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, wash your clothes, wash your body, all the socialistic doctrines.
Mm-hmm.
Have everything equal to everybody except for the government. They're going to be millionaires on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no middle class there.
Yep.
They don't mind having a church like that. But see, that's what happens when hypocritical doctrine is let go without being rebuked and God not moving on the scene. We sown to a lot of judgment in this country by letting all these charlatans preach to us on television. And listen, don't go home tonight and watch one and come out and say, I watched one other night. You will not tell me anything I've not heard already. You will not impress me by watching Christian television. I will not impress you by telling you what Benny Hinn said last week or whatever last night. Don't care. I want to know what God says and stick with what God says. And what he says here about the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, what did it do? Well, just a little bit got in there on one side. It spread through the whole thing real quick. And that's what leaven does. Listen, there was a guy come in one time and put one of them false prophets tapes back there in a tape box with him, cassette tapes. I threw that sucker in the trash can, told him never bring them things back.
Amen.
You know why? The spread's false doctrine. Well, he preaches the Bible. No, he don't. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
All right, so we're looking at this. Turn over the Bible to Mark chapter 1. Just a couple of pages to your right, Mark chapter 1. We say its doctrine is astonishing. It's also hypocritical doctrine like the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see that show up with doctrine. And in Mark chapter 1... you get down to verse 21, and it says there, and they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. See that? For he taught them not as one that had authority, as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, don't you look at that text right there. Do you see what he done that made that happen? He wasn't having a devil casting out service. He was preaching and the devil started hollering.
Right.
That reminds me of some services I've been in before where the devil started hollering, you get on to him.
Come on.
Still happens. You are a gracious crowd. Sometimes you get in a place where they ain't so gracious. And you got to stand up there and they sit there looking at you like this, like they could kill you. Look, take your best shot. Unless you're in a prison. I will not say that in prison ever again. Because they will. Thank God for 40 saved convicts that held that man down until the people got in there to get him. As in the old Dutchman chapel down there. Brother, I've never been so scared to death in my life. I thought, Lord, if you let them guys hold him down till I get out of here, I'll never say it again. You're going to kill me like you did the rest? He said, yeah, there you come. By the way, it wasn't a Christian in that service done that. It was a Muslim, just letting you know that.
Come on.
Amen, listen.
Amen.
I don't mean to start riots when I go places, but occasionally that might happen. But I do know this, you get to preaching, them devils get to hollering out too.
Right.
We was at a service, me and Brother Kirsten down at a service at this place, and Brother Carter was preaching, and right before he got to preaching, there was one sitting in the front row. Hey, man, glory to God. Hey, 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 you know, and all this other stuff. Got up and run him a lap. Boy, he didn't run a lap, some preaching got on there. Brother Carter went and sat in his lap and started shouting. What is that, a devil? A devil. Why would people do that? Because they're full of the devil. If all you got works during singing, don't work during preaching, you better check things out real fast in a hurry, because we closing in on the end. And don't get yourself in no bad way thinking, well, because I shout, I'm saved.
Come on.
Look at this. He says there at verse, he said, he cried out, let us alone. In verse 25, Jesus rebuked him saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned themselves saying, what thing is this? Doctrine. What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. I notice here that in this passage right here, Mark chapter 1, nobody had ever commanded the unclean spirits like Jesus. So what is that? It's described as a question doctrine. What kind of doctrine is this? They'd never seen that done before. No doubt this man is probably a good member of the synagogue there, never had a problem out of him. But then the wrong preacher got up that was the right preacher. And just the preaching drew that thing out in public. It's funny how sometimes you see stuff like that and you run into stuff like that. And you know what everybody does? Change churches and runs out the door. Well, we can't do that. We can't deal with that. That's why some of these old hags sitting in these churches right now still run them 30 years after they sat there. They stand up and bully young people about that, and young people won't stand up to them because they're being respectful. No, if you're not being respectful, somebody in there is not being respectful towards the church, the pastor, God, the Bible, don't you run out, run them out.
Amen.
God will take care of the details. You just do what's right. What is it? Question doctrine. Who can do that? Who in the world can do that? You know what you'll say when you see old drunk get saved? Well, who can do that? He can.
That's right.
When you see some devil-possessed person and the Lord deals with that thing and gets that thing out of them, who can do that? What's the question? The question is who? The answer is what? Jesus.
That's right.
If you look over Mark chapter 4, we see it's described as question doctrine. We see another scripture over here in Mark chapter 4. You look down verse 1 down there, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. He's going to deal with the parable of the sower. And he began, it says, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, doctrine is the act or result of the teaching. He said, I'm going to do this for them right here. And he goes and he gives parables down through here, the parable of the sower. Then he explains it and he goes on through there. But you'll notice he said he taught many things by parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And when he goes to dealing with these things, the first one he deals with is one out of four people that make a profession of faith are saved. One out of four. That's 25%. I don't care what the statistics are by these liberal churches. There's the statistic right there, the one that's got truth. You can manipulate statistics, but there's the truth. Now notice this. As we look at that thing, look over at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. It's described in that verse as Jesus' doctrine. He taught them in his doctrine, how he taught. How he taught you are to teach.
Right.
How he said it, you are to say it. And in Mark chapter 12, you look down verse 35, and Jesus actually said while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He said, David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him what?
Gladly.
Who didn't like it? Well, you'll never guess what. And he says in verse 38, he said to them in his doctrine, this is it right here. This is Jesus' doctrine, just like back over in chapter 4. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayers, these shall receive the greater damnation. We just got through looking at that over there in Matthew chapter 22 a couple weeks ago. What you have is Jesus' doctrine, and it don't fit in line with religious people that's lost.
Right.
Religious people that's lost have one view of things, theirs. That's it. It's not your view, God's, it's theirs. And if you don't line up with them, listen to this, either on the liberal side that they own or the legalist side, or whichever one side they're on, they'll tell you that you are the problem, that Jesus didn't mean what he said. Jesus did mean what he said. This book is full of God said it, it settles it, and it don't matter whether we believe it or not or whatever, it's still the word of God. The problem you and I run into is somebody says, well, that don't mean that to me. It don't matter what it means, it matters what it says. We can take, listen, we take a jar of mayonnaise and set it up here, and there's only one brand of mayonnaise. What's it called?
Dukes.
Say it louder so the folks up north can hear you.
Dukes.
Dukes. All right, good, good. Give them another one. Anyway, when you look at that jar, you look at the side of it and see the ingredients that's in every bit of it. You can look on the calorie section and see how many calories is in it. You can look on the serving size and, of course, ignore that and keep going with whatever you've been doing it with, a shovel or whatever you've been putting it on with. But that all of that don't matter. You've got what it actually is and what it says. But once you put it on the sandwich, then you got application. Now, there's some folks put application on that side of it. Some folks put it on a piece of wheat bread, some white bread, some of them wraps. But it's all going to do the same thing. It's going to apply what's in the thing is going to be on it.
Right.
It's going to change the taste of that thing to that.
Mm.
How about that? I like that stuff, don't you?
Amen.
So what about Hellman's? That's a salad dressing. That's on the thing.
Right.
I read bottles. She a Hellman's person. You keep that face covered up. Don't you say nothing, not if you're a Hellman's person. You can't shout the rest of the service, okay? Of course, she does have, looks like a tiger's face or something on there. Is that a panther? Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. Yeah, that's even worse at Sub-Zero. I'm really afraid of her now. But
if we look at that
jar, that nice little yellow-lidded clear jar,
it ain't good
that's on your chicken or whatever. It ain't good till it's on your salad. You carb watchers, that's zero carbs. Uh-oh. So you ever eat like that? Young people look at me like you look at me right now. Don't fuss at me. Y'all put Hellman's on sandwiches, so I don't hear about putting Dukes on a salad, okay? But listen to me. You got to have the application of the thing. And what Jesus is describing is his doctrine, and he just told these guys and called them out for what they was. He said, you like to get over on widows and take their money. You like to walk around in the chief seats of the synagogues. You like to be called reverend, don't you? Some people, these young preachers, they can't wait till they get ordained. So can't wait to get reverend put on something. Be careful about that. That's God's name over Psalm 111, verse 9. That's reverend is his name. You deal with your name. Put pastor on it or something like that. And God bless you. Listen. As you see this thing right here, he says it's Jesus' doctrine. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. This is described as Jesus' doctrine. If you look down, verse 14, he says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You know, it's possible you can learn the Bible without going to Bible college. It's possible. Now, if you're not in a good church, I wouldn't recommend you learn a whole lot from there. You might need to go somewhere. But he said, Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Whose doctrine is it? It's Jesus' doctrine, but it's the Father's doctrine. He says, it's God's doctrine. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I was amazed early on when in my ministry here at this church, we started taking a stand for the King James Bible, and we started receiving criticism out of everybody, and it has never ended, but we also made some friends from other people who knew what we were doing.
Right.
And if they're doing the will of God, they'll know you're doing the will of God, and God will form a bond there.
Right.
These people flipped over here one day, they flop over here next day and all this other stuff, and they chasing whatever the world says do, they won't get that. But if you're doing the will of God, when you run into somebody doing the will of God, you'll know who they are, and you know about that doctrine. They'll say, what is that? That's God's doctrine. That's from the Father, and the Son does it. It's Jesus' doctrine. Look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We get over here. Jesus is before the high priest. They've had a false trial, all this other stuff. They bring him over here. It says in verse 19, then it says the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his what?
Doctrine.
You are known by what you teach. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why? It's his doctrine. He don't mind saying it. He don't mind teaching it. He don't mind being known about it. But see, he said, in secret I have said nothing. It is not wise to hold back and keep things that you believe secret from God's people.
Right.
If somebody says, well, if I told you what I really believe, it'd scare you to death. Tell it. Show it to us in the Bible.
That's right.
And it can't be no whack job stuff where you take half a verse here and half a verse over there and try to make up your own things. No. Right. We're talking about real stuff.
Amen.
I'll tell you something tonight that'll make you scratch your pointy heads. You ready for this? How about when you rapture out of here, you leave every drop of blood behind? Oh, that's crazy talk. Really? Go back and read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 53 again. I'll give you one better. Only one blood was allowed in heaven. And this blood that belonged to somebody that's born of a virgin, the rest of us got to leave that corrupt blood behind.
Yes.
Now, when you die, you do have it down so you won't be embalmed, right? You better let us know. I know you don't think you need to fill out them papers, but you really need to let somebody know. Because if not, they put you in that box without doing it, you're going to stink really bad by the time of the funeral. And people's going to think somebody has killed something left in there. No, it's you. Because
right.
That blood will eat away at your flesh. If the heart quits pumping, the blood starts decaying the flesh automatically. You didn't know that's why a possum stink in the road, didn't you? Now listen. When you say, that's strange. It ain't strange. It's in the Bible. I'll tell you one more people don't understand. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. There's not a sounds at the rapture. It's a call, a voice, as it were, of a trumpet. Whose voice? Well, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. He's going to say, come up hither, children. We're going to go up hither, right there.
Yep.
There'll be no waiting in line. Thank God there's going to be one line that's planet Earth, and we all going at the same time. I even have the hour, but I don't have the date it happens. You ready? Midnight. Midnight where? Well, I don't know that part, but I know there's 24 time zones. It's always midnight somewhere. It'll be at a midnight somewhere. How about that? Is that real clear for you? How about this? And do you have a date you can give us? I wish it was a January 20th. That's today. And if Jesus hollered out the midnight cry about 11:59 tonight, I'd be okay with it.
Amen.
All the bills are paid, all that other stuff. Anybody listening, you can have the house. I won't need it. You can have it and the payments too. Amen and amen. But listen, you just let them default on me. I won't be here to be around for it in 3 months. Thank God. Listen, they call this Jesus doctrine. It's described as Jesus doctrine. Jesus doctrine. Listen, he taught that. Why do you think let John go over and take that thing and do that? I'll give you another strange thing. I didn't really talk about a whole lot. But if you go read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out something with the book of Daniel as its companion. He didn't give all of it to Daniel. He told him to close the book. Well, in Revelation chapter 5, nobody could open that book. And they gave it to the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he opened the book and they were all glad.
Right.
But at the end of the story, you find out when John bows down to that fellow that's been leading him around, he said, don't worship me. I'm one of thy brethren, the prophets. I wonder if that was Daniel sitting there talking to him. Of course it was. God told him, you get to open that book at the end.
Yep.
How about that? Now you know everything I know that's kooky. Stuff that's not normally talked about because people don't normally talk about this stuff. I might give you one more. Let's see. How about this one? You will not get saved. You will not get saved unless you trust Jesus Christ completely.
That's right.
Well, what about my views on the rapture? That won't count.
Right.
What about my views on creation? That don't count. What about my level of education or lack thereof? Won't count. There's only one way in which to be saved. That's to trust the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, shed his blood on the old rugged cross so that you might be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. What's the next thing there again? That God raised him from the dead. Now listen to this. There's a lot of people died on them crosses over in Rome. In fact, in A.D. 70, when they ransacked Jerusalem, they lined the roads with crosses of people up there, killing all of them. And they didn't die that day. They were up there for days. That's usually how crucifixion went. Jesus didn't stay up there more than that time he's on there because of two reasons. Number one, God said so. Not a bone of him shall be broken. Secondly, it was a Sabbath day the next day. They had to take the thing down. It was a holiday Sabbath. It was going to last Friday and Saturday. They had to take him down off the cross. He was dead, and the other two that wasn't, they break their legs so that they'd be dead too. Because you know how government is. They don't want to interfere with them holidays. God forbid, right?
Yep.
Now, he goes through all that. They bury him that day, and on the third day, which is Sunday, he arose from the dead.
Amen.
You deny any of that, you're going to be in a mess with God.
That's right.
Because that's God's plan of salvation. Well, don't you have to have the fullness of spirit to get that? The fullness of spirit will be the one dealing with you about it.
Yep.
He'll be fully dealing with you with it. He'll be the one that draws you to Christ that you might be saved.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question tonight. Was there ever a time and place where you look back in the past at your life and say that's how you got saved, or you got some deal you made out with God that's not biblical? I've had people tell me, I don't eat pork. Are you going to give you a round of applause? Well, I don't eat red meat. Do you think you're really helping yourself by that? See, some people think they do that and that makes them okay with God. God's not doing animal blood anymore. It's Jesus' blood.
Right.
And that alone. He said, listen, John said, behold the Lamb of God. From that point on, that's how God deals with us, through that Lamb.
Amen.
Not through our deals. God is not looking for you to make a deal. He said, this is the deal. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And we go back and listen to what he's got to say. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why is that again? That whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
That's God's deal, and Amen. It has not changed. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one look.